solid a groove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ready? Is it 10 o'clock?
Yeah, it's 10.
Close enough.
It's 9:59.
I'll go ahead and call us to order this morning for a regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on October 14th, if the audience would join that board in the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Not seeing a huge rush to the microphone. We'll go with departmental reports. Sue McCaskey, Animal Control.
Sue, it is always so good to see you.
Yep.
No pet of the month or anything today?
No, I was going to bring a puppy, but Wayne didn't want me to.
That's right. That's right. I don't need to adopt any.
This is...
Okay. Have to finish something. Okay. Well, good morning. Got a little bit of statistical information I'll give you, and then I'll kind of tell you what's been going on with us and what we're planning for the future. Our calls for assistance were 3,018. Animals in the shelter in our care currently are 134. Our volunteer hours are 153, and our adoption rate is 98.5. And our adoption rate is not pick and choosing animals that we believe should be adopted and putting to sleep a whole lot more. It's every animal that comes into the shelter is considered in this adoption rate. So, got a good solid adoption rate.
Uh-huh.
We've been getting a lot of animals in with respiratory, and in 1 week we had 4 animals that had been hit by cars. Took those to vet. That's why we have our donation account, though. One of them was actually a dog that had to have the leg removed, and we had had it for a while. And the day we put it on Facebook, the owner, who had scoured everywhere for it, called us and claimed the dog.
Aww.
And so that was kind of nice.
Well, and that little dog seemed to be doing pretty well on 3 legs.
It did. It did really well. And she was just beyond happy. So it's kind of a nice success story. We are kind of backed up on animals right now. We have animals that will be coming in after the 134. But what we've run into is our veterinarian's time is scarce in the summertime because they're so busy with their clientele. And one of the reasons that we want to make sure that we're using different vets in Story County. We also use the one in Boone because she gives us everything for cost. But we kind of let them do our stuff when they have time, and then we get a cheaper rate. If we made scheduled appointments, then we'd be paying what the public pays. So they just kind of do them as they have time. And we used to have Iowa State Vet School taking 25 to 40 cats a month from us to do for spays and neuters, which just, and at that time, declaws, and it just saved us a ton of money. Plus, we just kept them rolling through there with no trouble. Well, the problem is there were other shelters that wanted to get in on it. And so now we are actually taking about 30 a year instead of 25 to 40 a month. So that's drastically dropped down. However, this Friday we take 7, and next Monday we take 17. So we'll be getting 24 cats done at no charge. So that all helps.
Yep.
We're having many calls, a lot of calls outside the shelter, so many livestock calls, some of them with people that we've been dealing with for quite a while. Some of them are new problems, a lot of them at the trailer courts. And, you know, a long time ago, we had kind of the attitude we went in and we were just kind of snarky about wanting people to get things straightened up because we thought it worked better to just be in their face. And we've discovered, and I don't, maybe old age mellows you, but we've discovered that trying to work with people instead of going in and saying, this is what we're making you enforce right away, has helped us so much. And so, you know, we help people however we can, and we've taken ourselves a lot out of a lot of bad situations because the things have turned out well, and we don't have to worry about being a part of something that was negative. So that's
well, and the goal is to get the animals in a good situation.
Yep.
And so
and
let's just
to
do what
also,
we need to do.
You know, teach some of these people, you know, they move to an acreage, they think they want livestock, and they don't understand that, you know, you buy a couple horses and a couple cattle, and it's all great in the summer when you have pasture, but in the wintertime when you're having to buy a whole lot of hay and it gets very, very expensive, you know, then everything changes. And sometimes, you know, off and on during the winter, I mean, we do a lot, I've told you before, we do a lot of what I call babysitting during the winter. Just, we have kind of a route we go on and just to make sure everything's the way it should be. And it's worked very well. So I'm also proud to say that there are no puppy mills in Story County. If you look at the map for puppy mills in the state, almost every state, almost every county has one, several in Northeast Iowa, a lot in Southern Iowa, but Story County is puppy mill free. So we would like to keep it that way.
Keep it that way, absolutely.
We've had a couple instances of sheep and lambs being attacked. One was by a dog, we knew the owner. There were a lot of casualties. I think there were seven that were killed. And so we, you know, the dog and the owner of the dog and the people who had the lamb and the sheep kind of got hooked up, and that becomes a civil issue when that gets to that point. We let them work out the money issue as far as the restitution for the lost animals. But we did figure out whose dog it was, at least, so we can be a little bit more careful about making sure, and the owners can, to make sure it stays home. Coyotes are becoming a huge problem. I don't know how we're going to deal with it. You know, I just had a lady call the other day and tell me she let her three dogs out at night, and one was a 5-pound dog, and it just the next thing she knew, the coyotes ran through and took the dog.
Yep.
I mean, and this is happening. People, and, you know, I'm all for the species of animals kind of, you know, it's always been said that they will kind of, illness and sickness will kind of lower the numbers, you know, it just kind of takes care of itself. But we're having whole farms have 10 cats disappear in a night. I mean, it's just really, they're really a problem. And there's nothing else that's doing it. I mean, I suppose an occasional eagle or owl could snatch something. But this is like, wake up in the morning, you no longer have any farm cats. So there's a lot of people that, you know, we're dealing with a lot of calls. I know they're seeing them in the contract towns, and like Ames, for instance. And so I don't know what's to come about that, but they are really becoming a problem, and we get a lot of calls on
those. I was sitting out by a bonfire Saturday night. Up Cameron School Road by Squaw Creek, and we could hear the coyotes.
Oh.
Along, I mean, they generally try to stay along the waterways, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
We could hear them going at it Saturday night.
Yeah. They'll get close enough to our house out where we're at. If we have our windows open in the summertime, they'll actually wake us up.
Oh, yes. And we were actually sitting out on our deck one night, and they were howling right by the lake. I mean, they were between our chain link fence and the lake, which there isn't that much space. There was probably, we guessed, maybe 8 to 10 of them.
Huh.
And they give that creepy howl, you know, and we were just kind of sitting out there. And later on that night, we had our bedroom windows open, and it sounded like a herd of cattle running by our window. I mean, and it wasn't deer, because of course I jumped up out of bed and went to the front window so I could see who it was going through our front yard, and it was coyotes. So huh. They're getting very brave, which is kind of scary. So let's see here. We're working on we have several things coming up we're kind of excited about. Our shelter is working with some of the vets on having a queen for a day. And what it is, it's a spay clinic for female cats. And when the vets' schedules settle down some, we would be taking in people's female cats, having a clinic where they would be spayed, because, you know, you can neuter a million males, but if you leave one female behind, that's where your problem is. So try to have a spay clinic rather than a neuter clinic. And they would get spayed, vaccinated, and wormed for a lower fee than normal that the vet would charge. And this would be the vets eating up the cost for this for us. So it would not be a money-making situation for us, but it would be taking cats that people are overrun with and helping cut down the population. We're also in the midst of planning for next year a Halloween 5K run for the shelter. and or a walk, whichever people prefer to do. And we're going to call it Dawn of the Dog after Dawn of the Dead, so people can come and kind of, you know, wear spooky costumes. And we would have a, we'd get donors to give, a, you know, afterwards a continental breakfast. We'd have T-shirts made and everything and plan on it as being an annual event. We'd map out a course that would be pretty for people to run. Even out by where we're at, the path goes up and around the lake. So, I mean, we could really make this a fun event. So we're planning on doing that. And then we'll decide on a price for the entry fee. And we still have much talking to do about. We need to meet with the county attorney, of course, you guys, and, you know, just so we can get everything kind of ironed out. But I just wanted to let you know that's kind of what we're planning. These have been very, very popular other places. And a lot of people that run in them, I've heard two people tell me they run in them because they want the T-shirt, because they have a whole closet full of T-shirts and they're real proud of it. So we'd have some real cute T-shirt made. But anyway, that's an early stage. We have been invited over to ISU to the SHRA, Students Helping Rescue Animals, to give a presentation about our shelter to our to the students. The students from this organization provide a lot of volunteer time to our shelter, and they also in certain instances have donated money to us if they feel that there's an animal that they want to help, like in the case of an animal maybe being hit by a car or whatever, that they'd pay for the surgery. So this is a really good organization. And we're kind of the shelter. I think they're at our place all the time helping. So they do what kind of jobs we want to do. We're also going to be part of a benefit for our shelter through the ISU communications class. They're going to raise awareness about Story County Animal Shelter, and they want to partner with local bars and AIMS, creating a customized mug, and then selling these mugs with the proceeds going to our shelter. And I think it would probably be on maybe some, like, spring event. Maybe, you know, obviously we don't have Visha, but it would be something that they're going to do during the spring. So they're just trying to get all the details lined up for it. So that's kind of nice. They chose our shelter, and we're very pleased about that. And we're also pleased we have Petco. Petco also chose us as their shelter to sponsor, and we currently have 4 cages of cats over there for adoption. And so it's bringing a lot of people go to Petco and look, and they might find one there. Or they'll make a trip to the shelter and look. So it's kind of upped our business a little bit. And we are also getting material donations from them, as well as, you know, people give cash donations. We'll set up a little Christmas giving tree there this year. And of course, you know, last year we got stuff from that. So Petco's been a nice thing for us, and it's another way to get, you know, a lot of people that are new to Ames, or like college students new to Ames, only know of the Ames shelter. So this kind of gets our name out there and lets people know that we're there. And all in all, we've just you know, we're hoping to catch up on the animals that need to be done and get them out of the shelter. We like to go into winter with lesser numbers, because there will be a time when our numbers will spike again. So we're just trying to get through that. And we are looking into also, I discussed this with you about getting, you know, building a barn with our donation money, or some sort of enclosure for livestock. And we're actually considering and getting information on a hoop house. They are kind of an awesome, they have a lot of awesome things about them, one of which, it's light in there, you know, so we wouldn't need electricity. I mean, there's just great things about it. They're a lot cheaper than I think what we're going to get into if we start building something. Its setup is very quick. We can have wooden or concrete sides, and they can go up 6 or 8 feet, which is really nice. And it would just be, you know, Finch's down by Collins have had theirs for several years, and they used it for hogs, and then they moved their goats and sheep into it, and they love it. And you know, you talk to these people that have them, and they really like them. So that's kind of what we're kind of leaning towards. I think that would be good for us, and we wouldn't get one of the huge ones that you see out on the farm, but we would get one of adequate space. We'd like to put at least 4 pens in there for livestock, and then have a little storage space. So, and again, that'd be using our donation money. Other than that, unless you have questions, just kind of ongoing stuff. Just we'll work on our traps, and we'll start fixing stuff with winter coming. And, you know, we wanted to have one nice day to clean out our little shed and get stuff thrown away out of there. But it's been going really well, and our adoptions are high, and we have a lot of organizations and people who, you know, support us. So we're in a pretty good place.
How's the new truck working out?
Truck is awesome. It's a little taller because I think, I don't know why. It uses a little bit more gas. Of course, we're going to get a trailer. That's so it's got all that stuff on it. So Brendan and I are older now. You know, 20 years ago, we just hop right into the truck just from the ground. Just boom, we're in the back of the truck, no problem. Now we're like, okay, Brendan goes, I'll watch, make sure you don't slip. That'd be awesome because it's higher than it was before. So, but it's really, really nice, and it's helped us a lot. It's taller than the other one was in the back.
Right.
At first, we didn't like that because we thought it made the truck kind of look out of balance, but now we can actually almost stand up in it, which makes it a lot easier when you're putting animals in.
Mm-hmm. You'll work with Darren to get your warning lights on it.
Yep.
And things slow down for you. Okay.
Yep. Yep. And then I think that's everything. We're going over, well, tomorrow there's a large, huge load of litter, and we have coupons. We coupon. So we have coupons to pay for $1 off a bag of our litter. I don't know if that's – we just do it. And then later this week we get our new decals put on the truck.
Okay.
So everything's moving along.
Good. Okay.
Well, Story County's lucky to have you and your staff. Yep. You do a great job.
Yep.
Well, we feel lucky that the shelter has gone the direction that it has, and we're proud of it, you know, and I have good people there, and that just, you know, that's everything. I mean, if you have a willingness to work together, and everybody's doing it for the animals, and they're doing their best, and when people come in, we try to be friendly and wait on every single person, and so it's worked well for us, and we'll probably continue it until you tell me to do something different.
Well, it starts at the top, Sue, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sue.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Next, we have consideration of minutes from October 7th.
Move approval.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Are there any additions or corrections? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. Consideration of personnel actions.
Move approval. I submit it.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Consent agenda. We need to add utility permits 1520, 1521, and road closures 1519 and 1520. 19.
Move approval with the noted changes.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Those have been approved. No public hearing items. Additional items. Consideration of recommended proposal for the communication equipment systems upgrade. Leanne Harder, solo, no Cal today.
Just me. Good morning.
Good morning.
I did prepare a memo that was on the board's agenda. Quite simply, we did not receive, staff and the board did not receive any proposals that met the specifics as outlined in the RFP that was approved by the Board of Supervisors. As such, I'm here before you today saying we don't have any recommendations for the communications equipment system project. I mean, I did outline some points. Staff is working in contact the various vendors that did reach out, and to those to whom we specifically sent RFP. I've received back from one that they were just an entity that posted the bid on their page. So they had no intention on specifically replying. I'm waiting to hear back from a couple others. The other point that I want to make is on today's consent agenda, the contract with Sabre was approved. The tower will go on the building irregardless of this proposal. We need to take care of getting that tower on, especially with winter approaching. So there will be a period of time that there will be three towers on this building. This does allow us time, though, to figure out if there were issues with the RFP, what do we need to do to redraft and go through that process again if needed? Are there other alternatives we can look at to get the communications equipment upgrade done as desired? Staff is asking that you give us till November 25th to bring back various options, and then if we need to go through this process again, we'll do it.
And just to verify, one of those options has to be that each entity that has equipment on the tower handles it themselves.
Could be.
Things moved over or new equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I would say I would be really, really comfortable with giving staff whatever time they need. Clearly, we need to go ahead and get the tower up before we can talk about putting stuff on the tower. So let's get that done in the meantime and then come back to us with what you guys think is best.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Good.
So I move that that we give staff through November 25th to come back with recommendations to the board.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to go to the 25th of November for a recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
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 I think it would be necessary, too, that the board acknowledge proposals were not received in response to the RFP for communications that met the requirements set forth.
So acknowledged. And you're going to sit right there and talk to us about the Connect Iowa assessment.
A presentation that I'm going to work through with you. This is, as the board knows, has been a project that has been in the works for a couple years. Started out with planning and development, and we received assistance through the Ames Economic Development Commission, and it landed then ultimately with me to finalize through the County Outreach and Special Projects position. I'm going to go through quickly the assessment and where we got to where we, how we got to where we are, and then outline the next steps. The process is through Connect Iowa, which is an arm of Connected Nation. It's looking at three different areas. Access, is infrastructure there for broadband? Adoption, are we using the technology that's available? And then, do residents use it? And then use, are they using it to improve their quality of life? So the three-pronged approach, the access, adoption, and use. Through discussions with the board initially, we thought it would be countywide, and then we scaled back and went to different communities, and then we went back to countywide. So this truly is a countywide review, includes all the communities in Story County and unincorporated Story County. Again, looking at that three-pronged approach, access, adoption, and use, Connect Iowa has a portal in which all the data is entered online. We have three scores that we receive. It's for the access, we scored 40 out of 40. The adoption is where we run a little bit short, 34 out of 40. I'll get to that here shortly. And then the use is 40 out of 42. So I think our total score is 114 out of 40. I don't have the exact number. Still really good. It does show that we have a solid framework in place that we can only build upon. Then taking those scores, Connect Iowa and working with Connected Nation has a set of proposed projects that they respond back to the community with. And these are standard across the nation. And then we are then asked to either select 3 to 5 of those proposed projects. And if you look right here, we can either customize the action or just remove it. That's my job to go on the portal and do that. And so you see a lot of, I'm going to go through the 14 projects. A lot of them either are underway with Story County, or I just don't think it's applicable. And my recommendation to you is that we don't, as an entity, consider going forth with it. I have a little code to help us through this checkbox. If you see in the upper right-hand corner, is going to be a project, the orange check mark, that I'm going to recommend that the Board of Supervisors consider. This toolbox, empty toolbox, it's a great tool, but it doesn't really fit into our toolbox, our approach. And then this last is a kind of a maze of projects. It just recognizes that that project is already underway in Story County, whether led by Story County government or other facets of Story County government. Any questions thus far?
No.
Okay, I'm going to go into the projects. In the access realm, the project is perform an analysis of local policies and ordinances with the overall goal that ensuring that local policies are conducive to broadband build-out. I promise that's the only slide I'll read.
Just a question here. Are you talking about Story County policies and ordinances or municipality by municipality? What are we talking about?
I think it's a combination of both.
Okay.
It's city by city. And right. Fortunately, in our communities, And the nature of codes and ordinances, we tend to replicate from community to community. And so there's a lot of similarities in codes and ordinances throughout Story County. So it's starting at a broad level of Story County government and then looking at what the code of ordinances are for each community. It really is not as daunting of a task as it sounds, though. And I am recommending, it's basically an audit. It fits into some of the CPAT recommendations, too, that looked at where the limitations are for local businesses locating, or for new businesses locating in Story County, what our business limitations may be with our policies and procedures. So this is one I do recommend. And then that
reside with you to do this audit?
Right. Yeah.
Well, it seems to me we've got to start with an audit. We've got to understand where the roadblocks are if we're talking about trying to grow broadband access.
Yeah. And it rests with me, but it's not alone. Obviously, I'd be working with Drew and other entities to help either give me the codes, and I do know where all the codes are online. That was part of going through the adoption and the access and the use and entering in a portal was familiarizing myself with all the city websites, looking where the information was, what they have for e-pay services, et cetera.
But just before we move on from that one, so it's something that's appropriate for government to take up. An audit of what government does is appropriate for government to take up. And you, between you and Drew, you have the time to be able to undertake a project like that?
I think so, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And what I'll do is once we get this, I'm going to jump several slides ahead. After we have this discussion today, and based on your direction today, I will forward that on to Connect Iowa. They will forward it on to Connect a Nation. Mm-hmm. That will take a couple months. That will give me time to build into my overall work program, too, because I'll be coming back to you within the next month with some changes to that, possibly. But next is complete a vertical assets inventory, really deciding or delineating what we have, what kind of towers are out there, what kind of water towers are sized to accommodate co-location of broadband and other utilities. Honestly, a lot of this is done because our Story County Assessor's Office is so exceptional at making sure that they have adequately assessed these types of uses. We have it in GIS. We have the LIDAR, which is the topographical information done by the DNR that we can do some GIS overlays. It's an easy one to accomplish. And, again, would rest with me, and I would be working with Matt Boyk.
Well, it's something, not only is it easy to accomplish, but it's something we should have.
Hmm. Well, it's all a part of the thorough analysis of how to make this viable, to reach all of the constituents that you're trying to make sure that there is the possibility of access when you start talking not only local residents, but start talking about business entities and things of that nature. I think the one thing that I would just add, since I started early on and attended a few meetings as we started this process through ISAC, you know, I see this as a template, a guiding document, and so we tailor what needs to be tailored to fit our community, but this has been tried and tested throughout the country. And I think it's an excellent document for us to begin to assess where we are, where there are challenges, who additional players need to be brought to the table as we move forward. But I was very much interested when I did thoroughly read through the proposal, and I saw this as part of the beginning step. It's like a building block. We've got something out here now that we could utilize and then tailor it to meet our objective. And I think you answered the question, Supervisor Sanders, early on. You know, I had thought that this would be a perfect partnership for Leanne to take on, working with Drew and any other members in the community, because that's kind of where how it all got started. And so if they saw this as being something that fit within their time constraints, I could see myself really being 100% behind this.
Hey, I think you're right, Wayne. I think that for these first two proposals anyway, not only is it right for us to take it on, government, and in this case county government, is the sole entity that should be taking this on. And it's simply to lay the foundation to try to assist the growth of broadband. So I'm with you so far.
Right.
Okay, continue on with the adoption. If you'll recall, this is the one where we got the 34 out of 40. And primarily due to our digital literacy scoring. And that is a reflection of a trend, particularly with local libraries, to go away from having the classroom type experience with individuals in the community coming in and doing computer classes, learning Microsoft Word, learning whatever. There's an online learning opportunity called Learning Express Library. And a lot of our local libraries are using that as a tool to promote online learning. And it really, if you see the one-on-one campaigns with our schools, which are almost throughout all of our school districts in Story County, the online learning opportunities are getting more prevalent. This particular project is to distribute digital literacy content. If you recall my coding, it's a great tool, but in my opinion, it doesn't fit into the Story County government's toolbox. It is an opportunity for us to communicate to the libraries and to the school districts that here's some tools, here's some information we received. It's not something that Story County will be promoting, but we won't be managing.
Well, we're going to count on our libraries and our school districts to continue to do the job they're doing, right? But it doesn't reside with us.
Yeah, I keep on fighting with Connect Iowa that I think we should be higher on that score, but I think you all know how competitive I am. I want a perfect score anyway. But I do understand there are more rural areas where they're still relying on that. Come in, we'll train you, we'll have 10 graduates a year, and then we'll increase our knowledge base. But we are more computer literate in Story County than other areas. We're rural, but we have more availability to broadband, and so it's not as necessary.
Sure, but it seems to me, and just help me through this, Leanne, that this digital literacy content or getting it distributed, would the only way it would reside with us is if we wanted to do something in our funding model of the libraries to encourage them to do more of it. But as far as us directly providing the service, I don't think that's even remotely close to what we're supposed to do. That said, we may want to consider adding something on to what we provide our libraries in order to encourage them to do this.
Yeah, that's a great way to summarize it. So, again, not in the toolbox, not a recommended project. Continue with the adoption, develop a technology mentorship program. Really, with the exceptional school districts we have in Story County, as well as the leadership of the state with the STEM initiative, this is well underway. And I know Drew's doing a lot working with workforce development and then taking that into schools as well. This is projects underway. In some intangible way, Story County government's involved, but it's not one that should be a project that we would add to our plate.
Well, I think Drew's already getting, Drew, you just affirmed this. You've already got this on your plate, basically, what you're working through. And so I guess you could make the case that by our funding through AEDC, Drew's position, we are, in fact, involved in this. Drew, is that accurate? And he's nodding in the affirmative.
And that's why my coding has that little work underway maze up there. Establish Community Technology Academy. The goal would be create a partnership underscore community's commitment to developing a tech-savvy workforce. This is one I think we could play a key role in to bring the partners together and really get it up and going. In combination, however, with Drew and AEDC, the other economic development entities in Story County, and the school districts in Story County. And they are playing an increasingly important role in how we are doing broadband delivery and use in the county. And so I think the partnership, it has to begin at some point. I think Story County has a key role to at least get that set up and then let it go from there. So this is one I am recommending that would be added to Story County.
And so by added to Story County, are you saying it would be primarily added to what we're hoping you're doing,
right,
what Drew's doing, a combination of the two?
Probably a combination of the two. That would be a combination of the two.
Good.
Primarily led by me with his assistance. Facilitate internet safety classes. This is well underway by entities such as YSS. They do an outstanding job with the local schools to teach them about bullying. And I would imagine it's within Georgia's plans to take this beyond just the youth. And at the minimum, what they're doing by engaging the youth and teaching them, the youth, about internet safety, those youth are then taking it home and having conversations with parents. And so it is in a roundabout way being accomplished. And so this is one, it's well underway. We don't need to add it. Facilitate a technology summit. This goes back to that technology academy. They really do kind of go hand in hand. This would be the kickoff for that technology academy. Again, this would be under my work program, working with Drew.
Speaking of that, and I'll keep you on the radar, both the two of you, ISAC co-star, the ISIS group, the technology group, is having a technology summit. It's either in April or May in Des Moines, like a two-day summit. And I think this would be an excellent opportunity for you guys, the one of you, to be able to attend that. I'm going to try to be there. I've been to it in the past. And this is kind of taken off of about several years ago, COSTAR, the County Strategic Technology Planning Group. We went to Dallas, Texas, Austin actually was it, and we observed a several-day summit and saw how they pull together all of the things that they're doing there. And they are certainly one of the nation's leaders. And I think our group now is because of their success in small counties, are going to have a different program, and it's going to be tailored to meet a lot of different needs, and it's also being tailored for a lot of our smaller counties that have little or no technology presence to help them assess not only where they are, but what are the other possibilities for collaboration with nearby counties and other entities. So I'll keep you guys posted on that, and it would be great if one or both of you were able to attend that.
Okay. On to the use. Develop or identify broadband training awareness program for small and medium businesses. This fits already, in a sense, this is already on my work program. The board, through the economic development section of my work program, has developed a BR&E program for those areas not covered by AIMS and AEDC. BR&E is business retention and expansion. Having the broadband is just part of the infrastructure needs of small and medium-sized businesses, so that would logically fit into that. So I toyed with the idea of making this one already underway, but it's a good one. We can put a check and say we'll be adding it.
But we'll be adding it as part of something we're already doing.
Else, right.
Okay.
Create local jobs via teleworking opportunities. This is one that really does not fit into Story County government's toolbox. It is, when we have small rural communities, it is a wonderful opportunity for those workforce members within the community that have the adequate infrastructure to be able to telework or co-work, whatever it may be, but it's just not something that fits into our, so I'm not recommending it. Improve education through digital learning. As I stated earlier, the schools in Story County with the one-to-one initiative are doing such an outstanding job of promoting this. I mean, it is the path is clearly highlighted, and all of them are doing it, and our libraries are exceptional at this as well. That being said, it's not something that should fall under Story County government. Improve online business services offered by the government. Story County has a bunch of different services, that applications, whatever, that you can apply for online. We're working on enhancing that every day. We're adding new and new things. And all the communities, too, are doing it. All the communities, I believe, have their code of ordinances online. Several have permit applications you can download. It's well underway, but it has to be a community-by-community endeavor because there are different needs that each community has. But we are working towards it, just not a project for us to select. promoting telemedicine in rural areas, again, we've got the Zerion example. This is well underway in Story County, and that's a wonderful opportunity or a wonderful example to look at and to promote. That can be the role of the Story County government, promote what has happened in Zerion with opportunities that might be in other areas of Story County. And then pursue next generation 911 upgrades. We're there. We are just about, we have some software upgrades. We have some needs that in talking to Connie Hambly, we need to get finished, but it's not a new project that we would need to add to our plate. So the next steps, the selection of those priority projects, which I had that check mark on, and then give direction to staff. I showed that slide. I had to either remove the project or modify the project. That's the next physical step I need to take on the portal. And then let Connect Iowa know that we're done. They can submit it to Connect a Nation. And then sometime between the end of this month and December, there will be a ceremony with the governor and lieutenant governor recognizing us as a connected nation community. And then we not only do we have projects, we can actually use that as a marketing tool, too, for local proposals that are being brought out by the state and AEDC and NEDC and other entities.
Outstanding. Hey, if I could, before we go back and select the projects, Leanne, would you go back and, for the record, spend about 2 minutes on the process, the multi-month process that we've gone through to get here, and how many comments we've received from the public and how involvement has been through the process?
It's been almost 3 years. 2.5 years that, if I recall right, that Amy and Connect Iowa came to Story County, presented the Connect Iowa initiative. We've engaged stakeholders. We had a couple initial meetings with mayors from the cities. All were invited, and different broadband providers invited. As we've gone through, Ames Economic Development Commission hired an intern to, again, engage the communities, do surveys of the communities. We had opportunities through that process to really walk through what this project is all about. It stalled for a little bit because of the change in my position, but I was able with as the urban renewal projects ended, I was able to really find the time and bring this to fruition. The resources that are required for the projects, I hope you agree with me, that I've presented are not significant, and they all fit within the constraints of a work program, albeit ambitious, but they are nicely related to the other projects well underway and not really having to reinvent any wheels. And they do really generally fit into the overall scope and purpose of the county government, the ones that I have presented thus far.
All right, let's go back through them. Thank you.
Okay, the ones that
are we going to do it all in one fell swoop?
Well, I mean, I'll leave it up to you guys. I mean, if you want to go back through the ones she selected, we can, but
I'm comfortable with the ones she selected. Yeah. I think we've had plenty of public comment. I think what she selected either already fits with what we're doing or it is completely appropriate for us as a county governmental entity to be taking up. Reviewing what assets we have and doing an audit of the current ordinances out there. And so I'm good in one fell swoop. I just want to make sure we go through the process as we're supposed to go through the process.
And like Leanne said, this process has been underway in one form or another for 2.5 or 3 years. I mean, this was all great guns when we first started, and then one by one, I think different communities or entities fell off the wagon and kind of lost a little bit of steam. And really, it didn't take you a lot of time to finish up what needed to be done once you got started. And I do appreciate your effort in this. And,
absolutely.
And, so I think there's been ample time for community input. So and I've got them out as projects number 1, 2, 5, 8, and 9. Is that correct? just to kind of move this along a little bit.
Say it again.
1, 2, 5, 8. And 9.
I appreciate the number.
Let me ask this question. It probably be a good idea for the record to re-identify them.
Okay. By name. Sure.
And then my question would be, even though at this at this juncture and so forth, we would perhaps be considering a recommendation to move forward on these that we have kind of identified of the role and scope, it wouldn't preclude us at some point to amend some of our policies and procedures if there were more information, there was greater involvement from community, businesses, other types of things.
That's a great point.
Yeah, and I think we need to keep those kind of things in mind. So when people think that just because we say this is where we are today doesn't mean that we cannot come back at a later time to include some other components if we believe that it would be beneficial to Story County as a whole.
And Connect Iowa highly encourages that.
Right.
This is going to be a snapshot in time.
Right.
As of October 14th, 2014, what Story County had. Broadband as one of our key infrastructures of the United States is changing significantly every day that passes. So that snapshot will change significantly in 6 months, a year from now. And they do recommend, if appropriate, to go out back there and check it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in Story County, this is what we'll have in 6 months. I've got, do you want me to just go slide by slide?
Yep.
And,
yeah.
Okay, accident performance analysis, local policies and ordinances.
I move that we add that to Story County and ask that Leanne spearhead that audit.
Second.
Motion and second. Anything further? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next.
Complete a vertical assets inventory.
Again, I move that we add that for Story County and ask Leanne to spearhead that.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That one passes.
Number three is distribute digital literacy content, and this is not one I recommend.
Yeah, I don't think it fits.
Develop a technology mentorship program is number four, and this is already underway and not really within our programming.
Mm-hmm.
Number five is establish community technology academy, and I do recommend that.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I'd move adoption of this and ask that Leanne and Drew work together to pull this together.
Second.
Motion and a second. Anything further? All those in favor say aye.
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 Number six is facilitate internet safety classes, well underway. Number seven, facilitate a technology summit, and this is one I do recommend as well. It goes hand in hand with the previous one just adopted.
Yeah, and I'll ditto my motion that we adopt this, and Leanne and Drew take it on.
Okay. A second.
We have a motion and a second. Anything further? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The next one is identifying broadband training awareness program for small and medium businesses.
Yep.
And this is one I recommend as well.
Yep.
Yeah, and so I'll move it becomes part of our program, right. And we acknowledge that we're already doing some of this and just pull it together for Story County government.
Mm-hmm. So move.
Second. Wayne moved. I seconded. Yeah, this resides with Leanne.
This is Leanne.
We have a motion and a second. Is there anything further? All those in favor say aye.
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 Create local jobs via teleworking opportunities. This is a great tool, but not within the county's toolbox. Same with improve education through digital learning. This is being done exceptionally through schools and libraries. Improve online business services offered by the government. We're well underway, but I don't think it needs to be a new project, identify as a new project. Next is promote telemedicine in remote areas. Again, no new project. Same with next generation 911 upgrades. No new projects. That's it.
Leanne, great work. We appreciate your efforts.
Absolutely.
Your upcoming efforts. Drew, we appreciate you and,
yep,
and the ADC and the work that you guys have put in on broadband, especially bringing on the intern to help us get to the end of the process. It's been a long 2.5 years. Wayne, I know you did a lot of work on the board's behalf on this. Thank you.
Yep.
And now let's see where it takes us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leanne.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
That takes us down to liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne.
Yes, briefly. Yesterday I met with Deb in my regular liaison meeting and so forth, and most of the discussion centered around the deadline for the RFP that's due on the 15th, and actually tomorrow, and what the process would be after that, where the committee would sit down and review proposals that would be received and so forth. While we won't know for sure until the deadline tomorrow, I think at 4, the number of potential interested parties, we have certainly had a few that have indicated an interest, but I would not like to maybe mention any names at this time until, you know, that process has taken place. Mm-hmm. And then we also discussed some of the ongoing challenges that HERTA Public Transit Agency was having with the shortage of drivers and meeting some of the expectations of some of the clients, and this is certainly a challenging situation. And Deb is very much working with us and talked about some follow-up meetings that will be taking place a little bit later, I think in November, to not only discuss this but just transportation in general. And then we talked a little bit about a couple of the other programs that are currently out there. The RFP proposal for supportive employment, we anticipate that this will be on the agenda for the governing board next Monday, and it seems like all the hurdles have been cleared, and I believe a recommendation will be brought forth to award a contract for that particular service. And then there was some discussion just around the jail diversion and how that might go. And we are just waiting until we know more about whether someone is going to bid and have that all included, or we're going to be looking at a separate proposal just for that. So I just felt very comfortable that Deb and the members of the governance board was truly engaged and involved through the process, and hopefully we'll have recommendations brought back to us at a later date as soon as they go through all the processes that are there. So that's all I have to report.
Well, Wayne, we can't say it enough how much we appreciate your leadership through this through this process and what you've done with the region. For me, a nice meeting last week with Liz Beck and our former counterpart, Jane Halliburton, at Heartland Senior Services, discussing HERTA. Wayne, I know you've met with them discussing HERTA. It's time for us to get past the questions about what has happened in the past and how the program has changed since Heartland gave it up, and figure out the answers to what we face are some very real issues right now and some very real challenges. Some of them are staff related, some of them may be proximity related, and so it's my understanding that we are forming a task force to really dig into it, led by the asset partners, and we'll move through that process and try to get some answers. Wayne, your leadership, I heard, has been outstanding. It was a tough situation when we made the decision for it to move from Heartland back in-house with HERTA. And there's no doubt it's a hard thing when everything's being coordinated out of the greater Des Moines area.
Right.
And we just got to figure out the logistics of the whole thing.
Right. Thank you. You bet. Mm-hmm.
Board of Health last week for me, and I would expect this board to see a recommendation from the Board of Health for an e-cigarette ordinance. At some point, we'll, I think, probably do an up or down on that next meeting, which would be in December. So be prepared. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody.
Okay.
Public forum number 2, comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any actions on the comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but may do so in the future. Oh, look, Leanne Harder.
I just want to express a thank you to the Board of Supervisors for allowing the Red Cross to use this public meeting room yesterday for the first ever blood drive hosted by Story County. I did receive an email as well as a thank you note from the Red Cross. They state they were able to collect 17 units, which will impact the lives of 51 patients in need of blood products. For the first time out of the shoot, I think that's exceptional. They're very interested in hosting again, and I want to send my appreciation to those that came to donate blood, and even if they were turned away, they gave their time to come donate. And we did have a couple, unfortunately, but that will happen. And thank you for those first-time donors that braved and sat on the chair.
Including two in this room right now.
It was nervous.
Supervisor Clinton, Shelley,
I can say beyond a doubt. I don't know if they've had anybody quite like me went through that process. So I think I kept them in stitches, though, a little bit.
Somebody screaming in here. I thought it was a schoolgirl, but maybe not.
I want to publicly acknowledge Alyssa Wignall. It was her idea to have this and gave me the board gave me the blessing and the opportunity to run with thing, get it organized, and Red Cross was exceptional with whom to work, and then Alyssa covered it and closed it down for me yesterday. So I thank her very much.
Well, thanks to both you and Alyssa, and thanks for everything the Red Cross does. It's nice that we could play a role in trying to help out.
Happy to help. Announcements from the supervisor, Wayne.
Just at the ISAC Board of Directors meeting that I'll be attending on Thursday and Friday will take place. And I also want to give a shout-out, as many people are aware, that Harrison Barnes and Golden State Warriors will be in Des Moines on Thursday night, and my plan to be there in attendance. Hopefully it'll be a victory, and he'll make us all proud like he already have. So, yes, about it.
Outstanding. I know I've got a son who's already planning on going over to Chicago when Golden State comes in to play Chicago and we see Ames High versus Ames High.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
I have one. With you guys' permission, I would like to draft a resolution to go on our agenda for next week, thanking Senator Harkin for his years of service to the state of Iowa and to Story County specifically. I think many times people lose sight that he was actually a Story County resident when he first went to Congress, and his wife was a longtime Story County attorney. I think it's completely appropriate that clearly when we start talking on the political spectrum, I don't necessarily come down on the same side of the fence as Senator Harkin, but that does not diminish how much I appreciate his years of service and what he's done for the state of Iowa. And I think it would be completely appropriate if we could pass a resolution thanking him for that service that you guys could present to him. I understand he's going to be in Story County for you guys' picnic.
Couple of weeks.
I think it would be completely appropriate if we had a resolution that you guys could present to him at that time.
I certainly want to thank you for that. I was sitting there wondering if there was something that we probably might want to do. But, yes, I would certainly be very supportive of that. I think
if you guys are okay with it, I'll get something drafted in our agenda for next week.
Good. Sounds good. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I'll pass. Okay. I take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.